Thank you, Steve, and welcome back to our friend Steve Bertrand, who had a well-deserved day off yesterday.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
Did you do anything fun?
Yeah, Sharon's family is in town, her two brothers, and so we had a little family party up on Lake Como.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah,
that is fun. Steve and I participate, Wendy, in a daily ritual. You're not. I get in a bit earlier than you, so you're not a part of this normally. But Steve comes in, and he and I just spend, what would you say, Steve, 4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's usually after like two, I realize you're kind of done with me, so yeah. I start wrapping up.
That's quick. He gives you 2 minutes. I get about 30 seconds.
But today it's always a discussion on whatever's on our minds, you know, which is it's the premise of our show, basically, is we just talk about whatever we feel like. And we were talking today about the leaks in the White House and this new guy who's come in and has explained to everybody that he's going to he might fire everybody, he says. So I said to Steve, and I will now pose the same question to you. Don't you think whoever has been making the White House leaks, and I believe it's more than one person. I believe it's a couple of people.
Hugely
right?
more, yeah.
It's got to be. So don't you think that...
I think it is Mr. Bigley. I think he's leaking so he could blame someone.
Steve said the same thing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either.
He's the source of a couple.
Steve said the same exact thing.
He cannot zip it.
Hello, it's me, John Miller.
But don't you think whoever it's determined are the leakists, don't you think that they will be perceived as heroes to many?
Not in the White House.
Not in the White House, but to many other people, they'll go, well, we have the right to know certain things that are going on in the White House. And you, brave leakers, brave leakists, were the ones who leaked these things. I think they will be perceived by many, including myself, as heroes.
Well, obviously, if you're pro-Trump, you will not think of them as heroes.
Right.
You will think of them as losers.
Right.
If there wasn't a leak, there wouldn't probably be a Robert Mueller investigation.
True.
So if you... support that, you would support some leaks, I think.
Here's what you do. You play by the rules, so if somebody leaks, they got nothing to leak.
Oh. That's not a bad idea.
That's how I try to live my life.
That's not a bad idea
at all.
You
want somebody to leak something on me? I got nothing.
Here's what it reminds me of. Yesterday, some pictures were on the internet of a guy who worked at a McDonald's, and he didn't think that things were quite up to snuff behind the scenes at the McDonald's that he worked at. Now, there are thousands of McDonald's across the country and in other countries. And for the most part, McDonald's are extremely clean. I've been in the kitchen of a few McDonald's.
For what reason?
Once.
Pretending to be an inspector?
Yes. You'd be surprised. If you dress like Mayor McCheese, they'll let you in anywhere at McDonald's. Right this way, Inspector McCheese. We'll be happy to show you what's going on behind the scenes.
I thought you were identified yourself as Fry Guy and you'd like to check the oil.
No, nothing like that. For various reasons. One was I was a Cub Scout at one time. This is a long, long time ago. And one of our field trips was to a McDonald's where they took us behind the scenes.
This is what you're basing your vision of a
McDonald's. Another time I had a friend who worked at McDonald's and I went to pick him up and I was waiting and I was backstage at McDonald's in the kitchen.
Any celebrities back there?
Clooney.
Ah.
All right. So this guy worked at a McDonald's and he said, boy, things are unsatisfactory as far as I'm concerned in the cleanliness department. And he took some pictures and he put them online. And I thought to myself, I think that's a good thing that he did. McDonald's not too pleased with his actions. But I think, you know, if you're working somewhere and you want to say to the public, hey, I work at a place that's one of America's top institutions. It's one of the biggest success stories in the history of restaurants. But you should know this. In hopes that they would fix it, I think what he did was a good thing, don't you?
Is he still employed by them?
No.
Yeah, because that's what you have to decide.
They got rid of him.
You can't. I mean, can you change the world one kitchen at a time?
You can't, but you can make a difference. You know, I think sometimes people, like whoever's leaking the White House, that's a much bigger deal, of course, than McDonald's. But I think every once in a while, if you say to yourself, for the good of everyone around me, I can make a difference, and I'm going to do my best to do that. This guy probably figured out that it would cost him his job. It's very easy to trace things like this. And actually, I'm trying to remember if he didn't, when he put this on the internet, it was very easy to find him, you know, and figure out who did this. So What's the harm in it? I mean, the harm for this guy was he lost his job, and whoever the White House leakers are, they will also lose their jobs. But
and then, to me, it's hard to get another job because, you know, is Burger King going to hire this guy? Because they think, what if we have a dirty kitchen?
What a good press move, though, for Burger King to say, hey, our rivals weren't keeping things really clean.
I like the way you think.
Let's get this guy who blew the whistle on McDonald's. Let's make him part of the Burger King team. He'll make sure everything's clean behind the scenes.
We'll make him the Burger King.
Yes.
We could use a new one.
Yes.
That other one scares me.
Too plasticky. Way too
plasticky.
It is
plastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. And you mentioned the leaks and the leakers, and would they be looked at as heroes? Robert, your thoughts on this?
No, I couldn't disagree with you guys more. What you're doing is you're also incurring. Where do you stop? Who gets to decide what's a good leak or one that's going to hurt many, many people?
Robert, let's say your job was in politics and you somehow got a job at the White House and you saw things were not going the way they were supposed to go. Things were being done that were probably, if not definitely, illegal. You wouldn't say anything to anybody about it?
If things were illegal?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe so, because I take notes. I would go to the proper people to have that explored and examined. I wouldn't put it in the hands of people like New York Times, Washington Post, who then do exactly what I just described. They hurt people in the long run. This guy who worked in the kitchen, I'll bet he never registered one complaint with his company. He was probably looking to be fired,
yeah,
and he got exactly that.
Yeah, okay? It's possible.
Because you're right. If somebody truly cares, wouldn't you go to the management? And listen, this is one McDonald's. It does not...
It doesn't reflect on all McDonald's.
On any other one, really.
Right.
So wouldn't you, if you really wanted to help, go to your boss and go, listen, I found these things that are pretty disturbing, and I think we should fix this.
That's true. And I honestly believe that somewhere within any organization, they're going to listen to you. And things that are illegal, yeah, when you bring it to the proper people and nothing gets done, well, then you need to bring it to the authorities. But you have to be very careful with what kind of information that is, particularly in the White House. This woman who got caught leaking information, she was just an angry woman who wasn't happy with the election. There's lots of them. Okay, I wasn't happy with the previous election.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I should burn the White House down. Okay?
Right.
That's where you have to be very careful. And then you put that decision-making in the hands of what I consider to be irresponsible people. Because if you were responsible, you'd go to the right individuals involved to help you.
Well, I just want to say there are a couple different – you know, Bill, you're talking about the leak I would compare it to would be the one about the James Comey memo about
right.
the conversations.
Perfect.
That may well have served the long-term national interest. A majority of them.
No, I disagree.
That's okay. You don't think so?
No, please. You get to it. That's fine. It was just my opinion. The majority.
Yeah, I disagree, and I'll tell you why.
Let me finish, please.
Hang on.
Let me finish,
okay.
And then you can. The overwhelming majority of the tweets, the leaks that are coming out of the White House, are coming between guys or among guys who don't like each other. You know, they're leaking against Steve Bannon, or they're leaking against Reince Priebus, or
right.
You know, that's not in the public interest. It's not in the Trump administration's interest. It's backstabbing within the same team, trying to get an advantage over other people. That's probably not in the long term serving the best interest, but it's made for some great reading.
Yeah, see what you've just done?
Nope.
There is no, you cannot verify that one guy backstabbed the other guy. I have yet to see somebody come forward and say, Joe Jones said this on this day at this time. Not. What you have had is a lot of innuendos, assumptions, and journalists, so-called journalists, begin to spin their little story about who that could have been, might have been.
I'm sorry, we're going to disagree on this, because those journalists, not so-called journalists, but the journalists who are doing this reporting are talking to people who they know and trust within the White House, who've given it's not in their interest to report something that's going to turn out not to be true or to be wrong. That hurts them, like the guy posting the McDonald's pictures. If they report something, they've got confidence that it's true. And just because the source is anonymous to me and you doesn't mean it is to the reporter who talked to the person.
No. See, this is something you cannot verify. This is called gossip. There are no facts related or associated with what you're talking about. I agree with you when there are facts, they don't want to do that, because if that gets exposed, then it shows them as liars and fabricators. But you're talking about gossip. People believe what they want to believe. There is a huge difference.
But in going to the press, Robert, even if it starts out as gossip, once you go to the press and say, here's something you might want to take a look at and investigate, then it goes beyond gossip. It becomes either fact or not.
No, it now really doesn't, because guess what? I'll take anything against Trump, bring it to the press, and it'll get there. It'll get out, okay? To me, there are no safe checks in place to defend that.
You understand my point, that stuff about Trump that's getting out is coming from Trump people.
No, I would. How do you know that? Name a Trump person that leaked information.
Read the stories and read the.
Exactly. It's called a story for a reason.
Let me finish again, though. Read the stories and read the attribution to the sources. They will say, they will give you indications of where they're coming from. Individuals in the Trump administration, high-ranking aides, if you read that, you can see that they're coming in. The reporters who are reporting it are saying they're coming from within the White House. I mean,
right.
You and I can disagree on a lot of things, but I don't think that's one of them. I think that's pretty widely reported and accepted.
I do disagree with you. And here's a good example. You and I are having a conversation right now. That's true conversation. Wendy may say, he had a conversation with Robert today, and Bill said this, and he said that. Right. But guess what? Those facts get turned around and skewed and bent all different ways. Okay? That's my point. That's my point. When you go to those people, if they have great sources, then get that source on TV. Get the guy who supposedly said it and ask him, did you say it? They're the last people to get asked, because you know why? That would kill the story.
Robert,
Robert,
I have to go because we're late for commercials. But I appreciate the viewpoint very much. So
I appreciate the conversation.
All right, me too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break.
Can we start the show over?
We can start over if you want to. No, I like this because here's what's different between what just happened in the last 8 or 10 minutes and what happens at other radio stations.
Right.
No one's yelling at anybody. Everybody's opinion is slightly different, but that's fine.
And you can agree to disagree while having a civil conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm all for it.
All right. In a little bit, more stuff. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. An add-on to a story from yesterday, as we talked about June Foray at the beginning of the show. June Foray was a woman in her late 90s, right?
99. Remember, she was just
missed 100.
2 months shy. Yeah. Of her 100th birthday.
She did cartoon voices for years and years and years, probably best known as Rocky Squirrel and Sherman from Sherman and Peabody, and she did a bunch of voices for Disney. She was Mulan's grandmother. She worked from the time she was in her early 20s until just recently, and we left out some very notable appearances from June Foray.
The first one I just found was Cindy Lou Who in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
And this one... If you stand by.
All right.
My name is Talking Tina.
Your name is Talking Tina.
My name is Talking Tina.
She's alive, Daddy.
My name is Talking Tina, and I don't think I like you.
Now, keep in mind...
That is one of the best episodes of The Twilight Zone ever.
It's as creepy as it's exactly why they invented The Twilight Zone, was for episodes like Talkie Tina. This was a doll that had a mind all its own. And this was in the days before that was a staple of movie. You know, there have been so many movies and TV shows since then where there's a ventriloquist dummy or a little kid's toy that comes to life and attacks the kid or the family. Child's Play, they made 4 or 5 of those.
Yep.
But The Twilight Zone, I think, I'm trying to remember if anything... Actually, there's a movie called Dead of Night, a British movie that was made in the late 1940s where a ventriloquist dummy comes to life. So Talkie Tina is probably the second one.
Do you remember Magic?
Yeah, with Anthony Hopkins
and
Margaret.
That was
really good.
But that's the freakiest stuff. And yes, June Foray, we both missed that. Jimmy Mack, when I got home, said... Oh, how about Talkie Tina?
We left that out.
And I said, yeah, that's a great episode. What do you
right.
want me to say? Well, that was June Foray, featuring the lovely Telly Savalas in this episode.
Yeah, a young Telly Savalas.
Oh, it's such a creepy one, but yes, she. I can't believe we left that out.
I know. There is another death in the world of show business that's kind of along the same lines. Leonard Landy, Wendy, has passed away at the age of 84.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Who's that?
Leonard Landy. He is best known for his work on The Little Rascals. Now, you say to yourself, well, The Little Rascals must all be gone at this point, right? There's still about four or five Little Rascals left. The most notable...
Beretta.
...is Robert Blake.
Yep, he was Mickey.
Mickey Gibitosi. That's right.
You got to take it one step farther, don't you?
Nice.
Every time.
I don't want to, you know, if the Gibitosi family is listening, they're the last people I want to upset. They have a very short fuse. So, so Leonard Landy. Now, I'm a huge Little Rascals / Our Gang fan, and I have to be honest with you, I had no idea who this was.
Because he wasn't buckwheat.
No, he wasn't buckwheat.
He wasn't alfalfa.
He was not alfalfa.
Not
he wasn't
Spanky.
Stymie. He wasn't Froggy. He wasn't Darla.
What are you talking about?
He wasn't Brenda Vaccaro. or was that Nina Blackwood? I don't know who that was, but it was not.
You're so mean.
It was neither of them. He was a guy who was always kind of behind Spanky or alfalfa. And here's how you'll remember him. He had, even though it was black and white, you could tell he had kind of reddish hair and freckles, and he always just seemed groggy. Actually, that should have been his name. They should have called him Groggy the Little Rascal. When you see a picture of him, you'll go, oh, that guy, that kid, that guy. I don't even remember if they named him anything. He was always just kind of one of the hangers-on of the Little Rascals. Rarely the lead in anything. He was just always next to Alfalfa or Buckwheat or Stymie or Porky.
And what was his name?
Leonard Landy. I'm trying to find if it says what his character's name was, and in the story they don't say it anywhere. They just say that he was in 21 episodes of Our Gang. His first one was Feed 'Em and Weep, Wendy, which Little Rascals fans will always consider to be one of the episodes. His last one was Fightin' Fools back in 1941. But they don't really give a character name because I don't know that he had one.
Do
you know
remember
who my favorite
guy.
Character was, character name was on Little Rascals? Do you remember Butch, who
yeah.
always was threatening Alfalfa? He'd go, why you? And he'd start to roll up his sleeves, but he'd never actually physically harm Alfalfa. Butch had a sidekick named Woim.
W-O-I-M. Oh, yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
whenever Butch would give up, before he would slug him, he'd go, oh, I have to go. Come on, Woim. And then this other kid would just nod and leave.
Yeah, that's probably a great
That's
name.
A good job, Woim. If I had a son, I said to Terry, we have to name our son Woim as a tribute to him. And she said, that's it. We're not having sons. So we didn't. We had two daughters.
Yes, there was no character name because there's a picture of some of the Little Rascals, and it would say Robert Mickey Blake.
Yes.
Although it says Mikey, M-I-K-E-Y.
No, he was Mickey.
Yeah, maybe they just spell Mickey differently. Carl Alfalfa Switzer, George Spanky McFarland, William Buckwheat Thomas, and Leonard Landy.
Yeah. They
he gets
didn't
no
even give him a
ears.
Name.
I know that sucks.
He's like, remember on Welcome Back, Kotter, there was always the sweat hogs that got to say stuff and be funny.
Yeah.
And then there were 11 other sweat hogs that just kind of sat there and nodded and they were just there. That's how Leonard Landy was to the Little Rascals. What? He was the Michael Collins who didn't get to come out of the space capsule and touch the moon. That was him.
Well, now he's credited as Leonard in some of the Our Gang things.
Oh, was he?
So they just took Leonard, they just gave him his real
so
name.
They didn't really care about him.
Going Fishing, Alfalfa's Aunt, and always
Oh, Going Fishing is a great episode. They're all good, don't get me wrong, but that's a good episode.
And now it says, this is Internet Movie Database, which I really do trust, unlike Wikipedia. As of 2005, he's retired and living in Palm Desert, California, was.
Yeah.
Still gives occasional lectures about his days as Percy in Our Gang comedies.
I swear to
you. He made up his own
name. I've seen every episode of Little Rock. I don't remember them ever calling him Percy. It's possible, but
I
don't remember
that. We are really late.
We're running late. All right.
It's Talkie Tina's fault.
It is. A quick break, some news, more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm pretty anxious to have this discussion, Bill. All right. Here's a thing going on. We promoted this yesterday. If you are married, and you are.
I am.
And if you go out to lunch with someone and at the end of the lunch you share a passionate kiss, is that considered cheating? Would you think it is?
Passionate would lead me to believe yes.
What
but
about
I always when the meal's over, I always kiss the waitress. I mean, everyone does that, but a passionate one.
Even if the food's bad?
It depends on how good the food is. Right. That's how good of a kiss they got.
All right. Erica Kybartis is with us. She is a matchmaker and dating expert with It's Just Lunch. Of course, we've heard about this and heard the commercials. It's a nationwide dating service for busy professionals. Erica, how are you today?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. How are you
sure.
guys?
Good.
We're good. Bill, do not kiss Erica
no,
because
I've
that would be
learned
cheating.
That the hard way. I won't.
There was a study we talked about yesterday very briefly, and I think, yeah, if you're kissing someone else and you're married, isn't that cheating?
I think it is if you're married. You know, it is definitely in the study, 4 out of 5 men agreed that it is cheating. And more women more women do think it is cheating, though, significantly more.
Yeah, because guys are just trying to get away with the more and more stuff.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, well, I think it's more for women. It's more of an emotional thing. You know, it's just not a kiss. There's an emotional tie to it. But for men, they kind of take that emotion out. So it's more of a physical thing. It's like a handshake to them.
What about?
It's interesting.
Every office has what I always call the back rub guy. This is a guy who senses that you're a little tense and maybe a back rub wouldn't be a bad thing. And they give you a little back rub. What do you make
Who
of
is
that
it
guy?
Here? Because I could use a back rub today.
I wish I had that person in my office. No one gives me back rubs, but I think it's really boundaries, and you have to set those expectations up. I mean, I think everyone has like an office wife or an office husband that they can, you know, innocently flirt with, but it draws a line. I think when it starts to get too touchy-feely, that's
the
not
problem.
Good.
Now, Kevin, in my ear, Kevin, our producer, just said the name of the guy who is WGN's back rub guy, and I'm not going to say it on the air.
But is Kevin
not,
right?
But Kevin's absolutely right. It's the guy that I was thinking of. There's a guy who we're in it. Every place I've ever worked, there's been, quote-unquote, the back rub guy, and you know that guy. You kind of know that guy.
But there's a guy who comes up and, you know, hey, how's it going, and quick, and out of there, and this is a back rub guy that keeps it going?
Oh, way too long.
God, I got to know who it is.
Way too long.
Erica, I'll introduce you to him if I find out who it is.
Yeah, please do. I might need one later.
You're thinking about, cheating is on my first reason for divorce list.
Oh, well, it should be.
Only. I mean, really, there is.
That's it.
I know, and I'm not criticizing anyone in listener land right now who has had a spouse who cheated on them. Mm-hmm. You can reconcile. You can get past that. Me personally, I don't know if I could. But sometimes I think I'd be more upset if I was cheated on with someone that he fell in love with as opposed to
A one-night stand
kind of thing. Yeah. Is there any reasoning to that?
There is. I mean, there is a difference. There's two types of cheating. There's the physical and then there's the emotional. And I think we all know what the physical act would be when it comes to cheating. But
say
the emotional,
it anyway. It's fun to hear.
No, don't stop it, Bill.
I don't think it's appropriate. But the emotional, there are a lot of different ways. I mean, like you said, if somebody falls in love with someone, that's a break of trust. It's not just like a moment of passion that they couldn't help. So there are different ways to be emotionally cheating. There's a couple of them. Flirting, but for instance, I mean, the back rub is, I guess, one of the ways you can flirt with someone.
Yeah.
but flirting is fun and friendly, and it's fine as long as you don't cross that line. I think if you're married, yes, it's okay to flirt once in a while, but imagine you're in an early stage of a relationship where you're not yet in that relationship, you're a little early on, and you're on a date, and that person is flirting with the waitress or flirting with the bartender. It's a little disrespectful.
That would bug me.
Yeah.
But there are some people that just have that flirt in them.
Exactly.
Right? You know, so
it's a personality trait.
It is a personality trait. So you have to know that person and know what their scope is, kind of.
Exactly.
But with the It's Just Lunch, this is somebody you're just meeting. So you're on a date with someone for the first, second, or third time, and they're really hitting on every other girl in the bar. At that point, I'd be like, I don't know that he's the guy for me, because it's taking the attention away from me as we're starting to build a relationship.
Exactly. You go on dates to see eventually, the whole point of dating is to eventually find someone, one person. So if that person is doing these emotional cheating things early on, you're not going to want them to be your partner later on anyways. And that comes to flirting.
But Erica, aren't there some people, I know you say that that's the goal, but I don't know that that's the goal for everybody to keep dating to eventually find someone. There are some people who that's not their goal at all, is it?
Yes. That's very true. And that's why I think, you know, for It's Just Lunch, our clients are invested. People are here because they want to find a relationship. The people who are just out to date, it's unfortunate for the people who go on dates with these kind of people who maybe didn't set up that expectation that they're just looking to date.
Right.
Have fun.
When I first started in radio, I worked at the Loop radio station, and my now husband, Jimmy Mack, worked there as well. And we had this big concert called Loopstock, and all these bands were playing, and I think it was at Poplar Creek when that was still in business. And there was a little tent, and people were asking, fans were asking for autographs. Mm-hmm. So I would sign some things, and then Jimmy Mack was standing there, and some girl ripped open her shirt and said, "Hey, Jimmy Mack, will you sign these?" Mm. And I'll never forget, he just looked at me like with his hands up like, "Well," and I'm like, "Go ahead." But
did it bother you?
No. And I mean, at first that she mm-hmm. asked, it was like, "What do you," and then it's like, really, in the grand scheme of things, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, when you're in a relationship and you trust that person, I think jealousy really comes early on in a relationship. And once you're in a relationship and you're together for a while, I think it's true. You just don't care after a while.
What about a compromise? I mean, you sign one. Is that fair? You don't sign both.
That's
you
a perfect
you
compromise.
Sign one.
I wish you were there to, as my agent.
Sure.
That's a great relationship right there. Compromise. Honey, just do one. I love
but
it.
But that's just it. I mean, we all kind of, the bottom line is trust. And if you trust mm-hmm. someone, I don't know. I mean, I guess there are certain people sometimes every once in a while that I get a little jealous. Like, wait a mm-hmm. minute, you're showing her more attention than me. Mm-hmm. But it's not like I think he's going to leave me for that person.
Exactly.
It's like, I just want the attention.
Yeah. And that's normal. I think that's normal in relationships. Like I said, I think early on in relationships, this is when the insecurities are really there because it's so uncertain. You
sure.
haven't established, and that's why you have to set up clear expectations when you're early on in dating.
Yeah, maybe just physically talk that out and figure out what the boundaries
exactly.
are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Erica Kybertis is here. Am I saying the name right?
Kybertis.
Kybertis. How about the Erica part? Did I get that
Erica,
part right?
Perfect.
I got half of it right.
Right on.
A matchmaker, a dating expert over at It's Just Lunch, and the website is itsjustlunchchicago.com. We'll pick this up next. What is and what is not cheating? It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN, along with Erica Kybertis, a matchmaker and a dating expert with It's Just Lunch. You want to visit itsjustlunchchicago.com. We're trying to determine what is and what is not cheating. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us. The texts are rolling in.
All right, here's a good text. Bottom line on infidelity, in my humble opinion, married or dating, anything you do, lunch, drinks, or tongue play, with someone that your partner does not know about, that's cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you leave, if you omit the fact like, hey, Bob and I from work went out to lunch today, if I come home and tell my husband that, he'd be like, "Oh, great. Who's mm-hmm. Bob? What, you know, what'd you order?" But if you keep it a secret and then they find out later, I don't know. Why don't people just fess up and say?
They should. Because omission, if you don't say that you went to lunch, it's going to seem like something happened.
Yeah.
So you're kind of alluding to the fact like, oh, actually 2 weeks ago I did go to lunch with Barbara. And then they're going to think, why didn't you tell me this 2 weeks ago? So obviously you're trying to hide something.
Right.
But
you may
what?
Not be hiding it, but it seems like
exactly.
It.
Even if nothing happened, it's just, why would you omit it?
Right.
You know how guys' brains are really small. You know that, right?
So
in our brains, maybe not giving that information is mm-hmm. a way of saving some sort of hassle. Like you go, what? Do I want to throw all this information out that's not important? And we just went out and we had mm-hmm. a lunch and that was it, you know? But I could see where it could lead mm-hmm. to trouble.
And I understand that completely about men. Sometimes they do think like, oh, if I tell her, she might be mad. So I
right.
don't really want to, it's not worth the fight.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a bigger fight later on if you don't tell them for a few
weeks. I guess
so,
yeah.
Did you have a situation similar to this?
I did, actually. I flew out last week, so I was at the airport, and our flight, you know, I'm not going to name the airline, but it was canceled.
Yeah.
So we got stuck, and we had a hard time, you know, finding rooms for the night. We had to fly out the next day. It was terrible. But another gentleman and I met at the bar because we were having a drink. Obviously, we were delayed for a few hours. And
someone you didn't know.
Didn't know.
Uh-huh.
We were both there for business.
Uh-huh.
And he has a fiance. I learned about his fiance in the first 2 minutes, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I'm a matchmaker. I was telling him about what I do. So basically, he told us fiance that he went out with a bunch of people to have a drink, which was not the case.
Oh, it's just
you know,
you.
Exactly. And I asked him, like, why would you tell her you went out with a bunch of people?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just me. And obviously, you're not doing anything wrong. We didn't do anything wrong. You're
right.
not cheating, but you should definitely tell her. But then it turned into a fight because he did tell her and she was furious
oh.
about it.
Oh.
So I think really point of the story is maybe just be honest to begin with.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. If I was stuck at an airport, I would obviously call my husband and say, Jim, my flight got canceled. And I, you know me, Bill, I offer way too much information.
Sometimes.
I'd be like, oh my God, I met this guy, Pete. He is so fun. We did a couple shots, maybe seeing that's where that would get me in trouble because I'm too honest.
Exactly. But at least you're telling him everything. So he knows that you're going to be honest and maybe honest to the point of over information. He's like, oh, I really didn't need to know that, but thank you. It's better to have that situation than be like, oh yeah, my flight got canceled. Because just in case somebody finds out later, even if it's not a big deal, what's going to happen? They're going to immediately think, oh my gosh, something happened. On
right. Sure. Of course. The internet has changed things a bit, I'm guessing.
Completely.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Social media, everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also where a lot of people get in trouble. You know, if you like an Instagram post or, you know, if you're texting somebody, where does texting kind of come into play? Is it, you know, is it inappropriate text if they're just teasing, or is it, you know, a case where it is a little more intimate? So I think people overanalyze all of this. And I talk to clients about this, my girlfriends, my guy friends. Erica, he liked that picture. What does that mean? So I think we read into things a little too much now because of media and social media.
What about just simply people who are looking up old boyfriends or girlfriends on Facebook? That could be problematic, I would imagine.
Why, if you're just looking. I think that's innocent.
Yeah.
I think we all want to know.
Right. If you're going to cheat on your significant other, you're going to cheat on them with or without Facebook, in my opinion.
But it's probably made it way, way easier, right?
I don't think for cheating necessarily.
No?
I think everyone, if you are in a serious relationship and, you know, you had the love of your life maybe 10 years ago, you're obviously going to be a different person at this time. But, you know, every once in a while to look back and see how they're doing, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
That's right.
You just have to make sure you're not crossing any lines.
Right.
I don't want to name names because I honestly don't know who it is. I don't know who it is here at the station that gives back rubs, which
back
I will
rub guy, I'll tell you
try
later.
And find out.
I'll tell you.
There was also someone in the green room when Erica Kybartis from It's Just Lunch was in there. And I think I know who it is. He flirts with people and he's kind of touchy-feely. Mm-hmm. He's a hugger. I'm just throwing it down and saying it's Pete McMurray.
All right.
Because I know him and I get hugs. What? He hugs you. It's
He
doesn't discriminate between just flirting with women.
And he took me to the Dells for a weekend. That was, don't you think that's awkward? I thought
it
was.
I mean, that's pretty flirtatious right
there. I thought
it
was.
But I am kind of like that too. I'm a hugger and I'm not doing it to flirt. Aren't there just some people that are like that?
There are. And it kind of is with the personality traits, too. Some people are just naturally flirtatious. Some people are naturally touchers. Some people don't like to be touched. So you have to know your partner.
Right.
You know, early on, that might be an issue. And that might not be somebody you want to be with. You have to kind of evaluate if that's going to be a deal breaker for you or not. But when you're in a relationship, you know that about the other person. If
Erica,
I'm a hugger.
I don't trust guys named Chad.
That's so funny.
I just don't. I know that seems weird, but I just don't.
I've definitely dated a few Chads in my day.
You know what I mean.
So,
you can't trust these guys.
A Chad. It's Chad and Becky.
Yeah, those are the two you cannot trust. You're absolutely right. Yep.
That's so funny.
I'm with you all the way.
All right. So for, you know, Bill and I are married not to each other and have been for a long time. Kevin's married. Boy, we can say that now.
Almost for a year.
Wow. But for people who are just out there who partake in the It's Just Lunch and they've met someone, what do you do if on the third date the person you're sitting across the table from is very flirtatious and giving other people more attention than you? Do you just kind of, after that one, go, yeah, I don't think that's a good mix?
I would hope that people would. I think, you know, a lot of people have this fix-it mentality in dating. I think because of, you know, the movies and that perfect person, you know, Cinderella, you know, there's a perfect person for everyone. But the truth is we do have to make compromises in relationships. Mm-hmm. But you have to, you know, really look deep inside yourself and say, if this person isn't respecting me now, are they going to be when we're in a relationship?
You can't change somebody. People think you can, but you can't, right?
You can't change. You can change behaviors.
Sure.
You definitely can change behaviors, but you
not
can't
a core
change
of the person.
Core.
No.
Yeah, you can't change someone's personality. You know, I always use the example as like an introvert and an extrovert. You know, at It's Just Lunch, we're matching people on qualities, different kinds of qualities, and we really get to know them. So we're matching on so many things. So I 100% believe that introverts and extroverts are good matches.
Right.
But if you're an extrovert who wants to go out all the time and you want your partner to go out all the time and you thrive on that being social, you're not going to be able to change an introvert to do that every day.
What about an introvert and a pervert?
An introvert and a pervert?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those are two different.
What's the one thing, like, if two people have this separately, like one person goes one way and the other, that it just never works? Is it religion? Is it politics? Is it one's
it depends.
Pet lover and the other isn't? What is there?
Sox or Cubs?
Yeah, that's
a big deal breaker. I really think it just depends on how willing you are to compromise. Some people are not. I say be open-minded when it comes to dating, because everything else might. The problem is everybody wants a checklist to be all marked up, but it's right. never going to be. Right. But, you know, there are some things that are a deal breaker. If you want to, you know, if you really want to date someone of the same religion and that's how you want to raise your children, that's going to be what your focus is going to be on.
You've been very helpful, Erica Kybartis, matchmaker and dating expert with It's Just Lunch. And if you're single and looking for someone, you can go to itsjustlunchchicago.com. Thanks for enlightening us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Very welcome. A quick break, some news, more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Hey, look who's here. It's time to talk television. It's a Friday.
It's our friend Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have one of those computers that all the kids are talking about, plug in TVShowPatrol.com and you'll find Kurt's website. It's great. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Hi.
Kurt, more news about Donald Trump appearing on television, this time in animated form, which is probably...
Isn't it already?
The best way to catch him, yeah.
Isn't he already in animated
form? I think he is
already.
It may not be much different, yes. Showtime has... approved a half-hour comedy, animated comedy series produced by Stephen Colbert.
Surprise, surprise.
That, you know, is about a Donald Trump.
About the Donald Trump.
The Donald Trump.
Right?
Yeah.
So this joins the show that's called, is it called The President?
The President Show, I think.
The President Show. Yeah. That's it.
That's on Thursday nights.
Right.
That last night, I can't remember. Geez, it's some theater actor... appeared for the first time as Scaramucci.
Oh, you know who it is? It's the guy who used to be on The View all the time. He's a stand-up comic. He's very funny.
Oh, he's a stand-up comic?
Yeah.
I thought he was.
Yeah. He might have done some Broadway.
Anyway, he was...
He played Scaramucci.
Yeah, he was
so
funny.
They are as up-to-date as can be, because that's all happened this week.
Well, I have a friend who insists that that's better than any of the stuff that Colbert does on his show. Then the President Show on Comedy Central on Thursday nights is hilarious. But this sounds like, you know, it's sort of going to be a little bit like that. It's the Truish Adventures of Trump's Confidants and Bon Vivants. Probably this fall, I think. I'm not sure.
It seems slightly tentative.
Yeah, I'm not sure when they are.
They should be starting it now.
Yeah, this fall. This fall.
Yeah.
This fall. This fall.
All right. We can wait, I guess, a couple of months. Yeah.
Well, they have to do the... animation.
Chris Pine, who is one of America's top movie stars, is also going to be a TV star at the same time.
Teaming up with Patty Jenkins, who directed the Wonder Woman movie, who he was also in.
Yeah.
He was also in.
I don't think he's that cute. Is there something wrong with me?
Why don't everybody finds him attractive?
I know.
Why don't you?
You don't have to whisper.
I think he's
Kurt
really
two thumbs up.
I loved his character, but when I first saw him, I just saw Wonder Woman. When I first saw him on the screen, I'm like, this is what everybody's...
You've seen him in other stuff, though,
have you
right?
seen him in the Star Trek movies? The new Star Trek movies?
No.
He's the new Captain Kirk?
Yeah.
No. He grew on me, but I don't think he's like the best-looking guy in the whole wide world.
You know what you need to see him in? There's a movie, the name of it's escaping me, but he and his brother are bank robbers in Texas.
It was just done last year.
It's
just
really
done last
good.
Year, yeah.
Yeah, he's really, really good in that.
I fell in love with him in the movie because he seemed very sweet and... But, you know, isn't he like everyone's heartthrob now?
Yeah.
A lot of people's heartthrob.
Really?
Yeah. And his father, also famous.
Yeah. Did you see I put that
is
down?
Is he one of the Pine Brothers?
Fun fact.
He is.
From the cough drops?
He is
no,
Robert Pine.
The Smith Brothers.
Oh, but Pine, I thought they had Pine something cough drops.
Pine Sol.
No, no, no. They were soft and chewy.
Like bark?
No, I'll look that up, but. Pine Brothers. There was a Pine
there
Brothers.
There was? Yes. Cough drops? Yeah.
Yeah. They were like gummy.
They're still out.
They were gummy cough drops.
Really?
Yeah.
$2.99 at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Kevin.
Thank you for defending me. I appreciate
Kevin
that.
Kevin just looked that up for that.
Who is his dad?
His dad is Robert Pine, who used to be on Chips.
He was the sergeant. He was the main sergeant
really?
On Chips.
That's his, oh, my
dad.
God. They sort of have the same eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. They have the exact same eyebrows.
Oh, my God.
And
okay.
His mother was Gwen Guilford, who played... his father's character's wife on Chips.
Right. How about that?
Wow, that's going really deep, you two.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. Well
all
played,
right, I'm
Kurt.
Starting
yes.
to like him.
Anyway, again. This new show, he's going to be in a 6-episode TNT series that was greenlit straight to series called One Day She'll Darken, and it's based on the autobiography of Fauna Hodel, who was given away as a teenager. And when she went to search for her real family, she uncovered all the stuff that connected her back to the Hollywood gynecologist, Dr. George Hodel, who was involved in that whole Black Dahlia murder investigation back in the... in the 40s. So it's based on her autobiography.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. And Chris Pine will play a a reporter, paparazzo.
When is this out, Kurt?
Probably next year.
Do they still call...
TCA is happening right now, so they're making all these announcements this week.
All right. Do they still call... Like, for a while, if you had a show that ran five or six episodes, you'd call it a miniseries, but I hardly ever use that. They don't really use that term
A lot
anymore.
Of times they say if it's... if they say limited series.
Right,
when they
that.
Think it's not coming back, or they actually... At first, they called the anthology series, which we get a lot of now, limited series.
Right.
Because I don't know if they were sure if it was coming back. But if they call something limited series, then they don't have to say they canceled it.
But they used to be so
proud. They can just say,
proud,
well, it was just a limited series.
Like when Roots was on, or Rich Man, Poor Man, they were very proud of that phrase, miniseries, because that meant, oh, this is going to be special.
Because even the Emmy category says limited series now.
Do you remember what the first miniseries was? I do. QB7 with Ben Gazzara.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't great. It was just okay.
Queen B7?
Queen's Bench, it stood for. Yeah, very close. You could have won a stuffed animal. It came so close. Bobby Cannavale is coming back to TV. That's a good actor.
I put that in there for Wendy.
That's a great actor.
I love him. Now, he's good looking.
He is handsome, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was on...
Sex Appeal.
Vinyl.
Oh, wow.
That's where you where you fell in love with him, on Vinyl. Yeah. What's he going to be doing on TV?
He has joined the cast of TBS's comedy Angie Tribeca for the fourth season, which will probably come out next year or this fall sometime. That's the comedy that sort of is in... It's a police comedy that's sort of in the ilk of the Airplane movies, you know, Don't Call Me Shirley, that kind of humor.
Yeah. And he plays who? Do we know yet?
I don't know. It didn't say. Right. I didn't see it. Yeah.
Are you sold on this? If he's involved?
No, I'm over him.
You're already over him.
Yeah, because I mean, when I watched him in Vinyl, I was in radio. This was about radio, so it really brought us together.
Oh.
And now I don't think it matters anymore.
Maybe he'll play a DJ.
I've moved on.
Maybe.
Well, that would work.
Years and years ago, they made a really awful movie called The Last Tycoon, and now it's going to be a TV show.
Started today. You can watch it today on Amazon.
Fairly decent cast, though, I have to say.
Yes, Kelsey Grammer's in it, and Matt Bomer.
Yeah.
Also another heartthrob
of
the TVs.
Yeah.
And this is based on the unfinished book by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
One of your favorite authors, Bill.
I love F. Scott Fitzgerald, but I watched the movie when it first came out, The Last Tycoon, and it just wasn't good. I mean, this is a whole new version
This is really fun to look at. It's set in 1930s Hollywood, and so everybody's, you know, the costumes and all that stuff are really amazing.
Yeah.
And the acting's good. The story's a little flat.
Yeah, the story's not very strong. I would pin it on the story.
I've only seen two episodes of...
And what do you think? Does it make you want to see more?
I'll probably watch more just because I love period pieces, you know? And I just like looking at all that cool old costume, you know, the costumes and all that kind of stuff. But
all right, a quick break. Kurt Wagner's here. We're talking television. If you have any questions or comments, easy to find us at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments about your favorite television shows or ones that you're just indifferent toward, give us a call at 312-981-7200. We'll be happy to field those calls and questions.
Should we take a couple of phone calls?
Oh, yeah.
I like when that happens. Patty's on the line. Hi, Patty.
Hi. I love the show Major Crimes. I think it's either on TNT or USA. I always record
TNT.
It, so I never know where it is. Yeah.
TNT.
Is it coming back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I'm not sure when,
what?
But yeah, it's coming back.
It was a pretty big hit for TNT, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it spun off of...
Crossing or something.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, but yeah.
So it'll be back,
it's
Patty.
It's very helpful.
We don't know when, but in the future.
Yeah. They have not canceled it.
Yes. It'll be on.
There is hope.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks,
Patty.
Have a good weekend.
All right, Catherine's on the line. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, guys. I love your show. Especially
thanks,
on
Catherine.
Tuesdays when you do Tech Tuesday. I wish it was Tech Tuesday all day long, though.
Thank you. Thanks.
There's so much to learn, and you're so knowledgeable.
But anyway,
you must be listening to somebody else.
No, it's you guys. You make it fun.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Oh, you're welcome. Anyway, I'm just wondering if the gentleman knows if Tyrant will be coming back, which is where it used to be on FX.
Well, the gentleman isn't here, but Kurt Wagner can probably help you with that.
Yeah.
Kurt, do you know if the
Tyrant has
be
been
back?
Canceled?
Oh, Kurt.
By FX.
Oh, that's insane.
And
okay.
I don't think anyone's picking it up. I'm pretty
sorry,
sure.
Sorry, Catherine, for the sad news.
Sorry.
Okay, I have Tech Tuesday to look forward to.
Oh, yeah,
thank
it's coming
you.
Up in a few days. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. And Kim Gordon from our newsroom has a question for Kurt Wagner.
I
Kim?
I actually have two questions. First of all, when's The Crown coming back on Netflix? Do you know?
The season two, you mean?
Yeah, season two.
Probably next year.
Okay, so we have a wild wait.
Yeah.
And then I've been watching Red Oaks on Amazon Prime, which I love. Is that going to have another season?
What's Red Oaks?
It's
I've never
about,
heard of this.
Oh, it's hilarious.
We talked about it. It's set in
It's about a Jewish country club in the 80s and the people that work there. And
Yeah.
And in season two, didn't they go to Europe or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, season two, they go to Europe.
Yeah.
You think it's coming back for...
I think it is, but probably next year also. Because I think season two is this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
So it'll be back. I can't say the name of this show, but it's Eugene Levy's show. You know what show I mean.
Eugene
Levy and Catherine O'Hara. The word creek is in there. Yeah. It's hysterically funny. And that's not over, is it? Will that be back? Do we know? Yeah.
I think it will be back.
All right,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope so.
There's another show like that that we probably can't say the name of. Did you see my list for next week?
Yes, I did.
We can say Swedish, but we can't say the rest, right?
Swedish Private Eyes.
Swedish Private Eyes.
Is what it's another word for private eye.
Yeah.
A single word, four letters.
What's that? Dick Johnson's on the phone?
Is he? We can't put him through.
Right. Anyway, that looks kind of fun because there's some people in there, and now I'm not going to remember their names, but they're kind of funny, and it looks like it'll be fun. It's a Swedish DJ and an aging stuntman get together and decide to become private eyes in L.A.
That sounds like a good show.
And they're very Scaramucci-like in their language.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I want to throw something in. There's a show called Intervention that's been very popular on A&E, helping people who are addicts. And our own Tim Ryan, who's been on the show several times, they filmed kind of a reality hour special called Dope Man. And anyone who is struggling with heroin addiction or any kind of addiction or family members are, it's premiering the one-hour special of Dope Man Sunday night, 9 p.m. A&E.
That sounds good.
Or the 31st, whenever that is.
It's Monday.
Okay, yeah, Monday night, 9 p.m. A&E.
And Kurt, it's right after the season premiere of Intervention.
Yep.
Yeah. I know this is a question you get all day, every day, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why aren't there any television shows with Rob Lowe and his family solving bizarre mysteries?
Well...
Are you kidding? There's going to be a show
there
like this.
There is one.
Yeah, a what?
And it starts this Wednesday.
Yeah.
His real family?
Yeah, his real family.
His sons.
Who were so understanding during the Rob Lowe roast, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I know.
Because there was a lot of ammo thrown at him, and they showed the family
the
table.
The family was there.
Yeah.
They had a good sense of humor about it all.
They were.
Because his kids are teens.
Yeah.
Preteen and teens, I think, his sons. And what they do is he says he's always been fascinated by...
The paranormal.
Yeah, the paranormal and unsolved mysteries, you know, Bigfoot
Who isn't,
and things
though?
Like that. And so they're going to travel the country and try to figure out...
It's like Scooby-Doo with Rob
legends
Lowe.
I'm in.
Around the country, and they camp, and I saw some teasers for it, and you know, they're like using the night cameras and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
He's one of the most likable guys in Hollywood, isn't he?
I mean, and I think it seemed to show their relationship, how great their relationship is, too. Yeah.
All right.
So it sounds kind of fun.
I'm in, I think.
That sounds like a good time.
Wednesday night,
They have named a host for the MTV Awards, and that takes place on August 27th, and the host will be?
Katy Perry, singer.
Yeah,
Katy Perry.
Yeah, she's very popular, Kurt.
No,
good. She'll be great. I like her.
You mentioned TSA or TCA. What is that?
Television Critics Association. Oh, remember that one year you guys called me while I was out there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's happening now.
It's a preview of all the shows that'll be out over the next 6 months or
The networks like sort of bring out their stars and talk about different shows that are coming. So that's why this week you'll see a lot of, well, the next 2 weeks you'll see a lot of announcements about future shows or that they've cast a show or that they're going to do a show in 2019, you know, stuff like that.
Because the deals have been signed.
Because
so
the deals have been signed,
out.
Right. And like yesterday, that Hulu superhero show Future Man,
yeah,
which Josh Hutcherson is starring in.
From Walking Dead? Who's Josh Hutcherson?
He was in the Hunger Games movies.
Oh,
the short guy.
I know who
in the
he
Hunger
is.
Games
yeah, yeah,
movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, you're thinking of Eugene.
Yeah.
He's,
doesn't they have a similar name?
Yeah. Yeah. His show is coming out on Hulu this fall, in November, I think, November 14th. And Seth Rogen is one of the executive producers.
Like Preacher.
Yeah. And they asked Seth Rogen, the journalist asked Seth Rogen, because the show is sort of an apocalyptic comedy.
Uh-huh.
Why apocalyptic shows about the apocalypse are so popular.
There's a lot
right
of
now.
Them lately.
And he says, his answer was probably because people feel like the world might end soon. And I just thought that was funny.
Did that get a laugh? Or
yeah,
did that
I'm
get,
sure it did.
Yeah, all right, good.
Josh McDermott, by the
Josh
way, is
McDermott.
Who you're thinking of.
Yeah, not Josh Hutcherson.
But
yeah.
That's the show that Glenn Headley
slurring?
Was
yeah.
That's the show that Glenn Headley was in.
Oh, that's right.
So
I
they talked
her.
About her yesterday, too, and sort of paid tribute to her
that's
as well.
Sad.
She was playing
very
Josh Hutcherson's character.
Now he's slurring.
All right, Better Things with Pamela Adlon, who does the voice of... King of the Hill, is it Bobby Hill she does the voice of? Is Better Things coming back? I totally love that. And she's up for
an Emmy and
Grammy.
An Emmy
not
and
Grammy.
I think
Grammy.
It might be up for some writing.
She doesn't
stuff
have a grandchild.
Too.
What about Tales from the Crypt? We got some sad news about Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, and I hadn't heard this, but
prepare for sad news, Wendy.
They talked about TCA, Kevin Riley, the president of TNT, talked about this. And apparently, you know, remember after the TCA I went to, which was three TCAs ago now, they had announced that this was coming to TNT.
Right.
And I think we talked about it, and nothing has happened. And it just sort
in
of disappeared.
Years.
They were going to bring back Tales of the Crypt from the
Tales
Crypt.
From the, and M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong was going to do it.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Kevin Riley yesterday said, well... We didn't think there were any rights issues involved in Tales from the Crypt. And apparently there were, and they were like the most Byzantine, hard to get through. So his lawyer, he says the lawyers have been really spent like a year.
Because Tales
going
from the Crypt
this.
Started as a comic book.
Well, it was
in
a
the
comic
40s.
Book which was sold to some producer, then was sold to somebody else, then was
right.
sold to somebody else. So they had
you know
to
who had
go
it
through
was
all these different.
George Romero, the guy who died last week from Night of the Living Dead, it was his property for a long time.
Well, and so they didn't realize that, which seems a little odd, but it wasn't until they announced it that somebody said, you gonna pay me for it? Because
right.
I own it.
Oh, wow.
I have a selfish question because I am very hip with what I watch now because it's the same shows that Kevin, our producer, watches and my teenage boys.
Oh.
Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule features John C. Reilly, and it's so silly. I've
it's
heard that it has been canceled.
Is that Adult Swim?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
A spinoff from Tim and Eric?
Yeah.
I don't know what's
sad.
Wrong with me. I this is what
you
I watch.
You don't think you're the target audience for that show?
No, but the Steve Brule show is
it
just...
Could, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't heard, but it could have been canceled.
I've been informed it's been canceled,
uh-oh.
And I don't... I kind of... It's so uncomfortable to watch, but I can't stop watching it. John C. Reilly, big fan of his.
Wendy has so little to look forward to. Can't we just give her this, Kurt? Please.
Well,
please.
I thought she'd
know.
Be happy about the Bobby Cannavale news.
She didn't seem that happy.
She didn't seem that
we
happy.
We were all shocked by that.
No, I'm loving Preacher. That is honestly just one of the best shows on television right now. Walking Dead doesn't come back till October. However, it has been delayed because of
the
stuntman who died.
Fell and, off of a platform, right?
Well, yeah. It's like they had practiced this, from what I read, several times. He missed the padding that he was supposed to land on.
Yeah.
There was a part where he was hanging on at one point. That doesn't look like the stunt was done properly. So they're obviously investigating that, and they halted production. So is that going to delay
I
the
thought
start?
I thought there was some kind of something fell through or something. But
yeah, it's really kind of mysterious.
It's still scheduled for the last week in October. I just saw an ad yesterday that says... And this is a great week because you have the premiere of the second season of Stranger Things and the new Walking Dead within a couple days of each other.
Well, the producers canceled their TCA panel to go to his funeral.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
That is
which
sad.
Which I think was is this weekend.
Yeah. That's Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com.
Oh, and August begins Tuesday, so I will have the August premieres list up this afternoon.
Excellent. That's
TVShowPatrol.com?
Yep. That's where you find it. Cool. Thank you, Kurt. We'll take a quick break. We've got news next and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus Lane. Blitzen, blitzen, all here's a reindeer.
Wendy, it's our Christmas in July sale.
What, do we work at the light now?
Yes.
How could you not like Elvis? Come
you
on.
Know, there's a couple of things that I know it's un-American to not like Elvis Presley or the Three Stooges or the Blues Brothers.
You're just a contrarian.
But I don't think I am. I understand the importance that Elvis Presley had on music. I can't doubt that for a second. He's one of the most important music figures ever, but like in his prime, I wouldn't have paid 30 cents to see an Elvis Presley concert. It just didn't do anything for me.
I'm going home.
Are you
going
to leave? Don't leave. Don't leave. The reason we played that song is, as most of you are well aware, because boy, this is everywhere you turn, they're talking about it. It's time for the big Santa Claus convention in Denmark.
Well, there is a time change.
Right. In Denmark, it's Christmas.
It's already Christmas.
Right. A lot of places in the world, you'd be a couple hours fast or a couple hours slow. But in Denmark, it is December 25th, as you know, Wendy. Here's what it says. This is a story out of the Huffington Post. It's summertime in Denmark, but Santas from around the world are already planning for the festive season. With more than 150 Santa Clauses.
Helpers.
Or Clausi. Yeah, I guess helpers is the way to say it. With more than 150 helpers gathering in Copenhagen to share some early Christmas cheer.
Is that the Santa capital of the world?
Oh, I think the North Pole is the Santa capital
One would
of the world.
Think.
Why don't they do it there at the Hilton?
Too cold.
Yeah, it would be too cold. The annual World Santa Claus Congress, Wendy, now in its 60th year.
What?
That's what they call it.
Wow.
Has drawn attendees from a dozen countries. Now, I would have thought more, because this is the biggest Santa convention in the world, and there's over 150, but they say that they've drawn attendees from a dozen countries, most sporting traditional red coats and white beards, despite the warmer than winter weather. Most, if this is the biggest Santa convention of the year, it should be 100% of them. It's like when McDonald's says it participating McDonald's, and you go, you're McDonald's, participate. If you're a Santa Claus, you should dress like Santa.
Agreed.
Right? The three-day event, always held at the Bakken Amusement Park, will see the Santas parade in the streets of the Danish capital, bathe in the sea, which I would think would be damaging to young children's eyes. Wouldn't you? I'm not positive if I had a child in Denmark, I would allow them to watch 150 Santas bathing together.
Be that very would ruin Christmas for me, quite
forever.
Honestly.
Forever and then some. Because no matter how old you got, when it came to be Christmas, you'd go, I might have imagined this, but I'm almost sure as a child I saw 150 Santas bathing together.
And they're elderly, aren't they?
And some of them are not in great shape.
Oh, I can't find my sponge. Here it is. That's not a sponge.
Yeah, you just swore me off of Christmas. I will no longer be celebrating Christmas. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
It says here, Wendy, that they will also enjoy, I'm guessing immediately after.
Is this a loofah?
Bathing together. Don't. Kevin, do me a favor. Pull out the naughty list and put Wendy's name at the top of it.
Already there. Been number one for years.
For years
it's
and years.
The only list I can top.
Right. Did Wendy make Chicago's best list this year? No, not this year, but she made the naughty list again. She's in number one. All right, so they're bathing together, and then it says, after which they will enjoy a herring tasting.
Oh, God.
Is that something Santa's famous for? Because this is news to me.
Have you ever left him herring by the fireplace?
No.
It's
you leave
cookies.
Him cookies. You have a cookie tasting at the world's largest Santa convention, not a herring tasting.
They are not doing this correctly,
this
Bill.
This is backwards.
You're Christmas boy. You should hold this.
I'm gonna look into this. I'll put a package together. Some will also take to the runway for a Santa Claus fashion show. That's not accurate either.
No, because they'll all be wearing the same thing.
They all wear the same thing. If you're Santa Claus, you go with the red and white, and that's it. There's no variation on the
theme. Big black belt.
Right. That's what's in this year. That was what was in last year. That was what was in 1718. That's it. That's all you wear. Here's what it says. We'll have a discussion about the important things in life. For example, I'm reading this and I'm doubting myself, but this is what it says.
All right.
But I'm saying to myself, you're making this up, but I'm not making this up. Listen to what it says. This is the guy who organizes it.
And his name, by the way, is Santa Wolfgang, Wendy. Santa Wolfgang says, we will have a discussion about the important things in life. For example, which day is Christmas Day? Well, that should take the better part of the afternoon. I move that we hold it on December 25th this year. Meeting adjourned.
I would agree.
Let's have more herring. Bring in the extra herring, Santa Wolfgang. all right. So that, like I said, was mentioned by Santa Wolfgang from Germany, who's been participating in the Santa Claus Congress since 1996. Another idea is that you may not give tickets to vehicles from Santas when they are illegally parked. That should be forbidden. What?
First of all, again, doesn't he use a sleigh?
Yes. This is
wrong on so many levels.
This is wrong as wrong can be. I think they're putting something in these guys' herring, Wendy, because you don't talk about stuff like this. When would that ever be an issue? That's ridiculous. That's a waste of every Santa's time.
They're congregating. This is the world's largest, so they just don't want a parking ticket.
No, I guess. But are they saying no matter, like, all year round, if a guy who's a Santa's helper is to park illegally somewhere, he's exempt from tickets because he's Santa? That's
you can't do that.
They can't do that. Christmas is celebrated on different days in different countries.
Is it?
Oh, I didn't know that. If that's true, I apologize, because I thought it was always December 25th. It's got to be, because on the news, they show you where Santa's sleigh is around the world.
NORAD does that.
NORAD's been doing that forever. You can't have Christmas on another day. With Advent and other traditions extending the festive season through most of December and January, although Greek Christmas is a couple weeks after Christmas, right? So if Greek, I guess it's possible. Another hot topic at this year's Congress is the color of the Christmas tree. This according to Santa Elizabeth, who lives in Denmark. This year we are deciding whether the tree should be purple, red, or green.
I'm done with this convention.
Green is my favorite color, said Santa Elizabeth. I bet this is a hotly debated topic.
What does Santa Wolfgang think?
He's refusing to get involved in this. He will not be involved in this.
This is stupid.
I know it is. I know it is. I can't believe this one Santa Claus has been going since 1996, because it's like 10 minutes. I'm like, I got to get a refund on this thing. Right. I can't believe I spent all this money to go to Denmark.
Speaking of refunds, did you hear what happened with this Pokemon Go Fest that was happening downtown?
Did they cancel it?
Bill,
I've been
talking
about this for months.
It went terribly wrong.
Do you know why? Can I guess why?
Yeah.
It's a fad that came and went.
Oh, no, no, no.
That's not why?
Tons of people went to this. My 14-year-old son, Dylan, sent me this story. There was a Pokemon Go Fest, and it was happening, I believe, at Navy Pier. It was definitely downtown Chicago. It was official fan event. People had to pay $100 for tickets. You would go there, and there were special things that you could catch. And
For the $100, please tell me you got at least a room somewhere.
No. I don't know exactly the gist of it, but I just know that a number of Pokemon Go Fest attendees are filing a lawsuit against Niantic, which is the company that puts it out, the developer of the popular mobile game, and organizer of the official fan event. They're seeking reimbursement for travel expenses after there was one family who made the trip from California to come here for it, and there was this big, terrible bandwidth problem. And no one, it didn't work.
You couldn't download.
You couldn't
do
anything. You couldn't even pay.
Because it was there was too much action.
Yes.
Is that why?
There were tons of issues encountered at Pokemon Go Fest. People paid to fly out to Chicago for the festival, had to wait for several hours in line. And when other attendees arrived, they were unable to play the game. So they were unable to capture the rare Pokemon that was supposed to be available there. The opportunity to catch this rare Pokemon was one of the things Niantic marketed as a reason to attend this Pokemon Go Fest. Many people spent money on making the trip with hopes of catching the rarer creatures. They were not able to do so. Niantic is not offering to refund people's travel expenses for coming to Chicago, and most of the people came from out of state, some from other countries. This particular Chicago attorney talked to someone who flew in from Japan for this.
A guy flew in from Japan so he could catch a pretend
internet monster.
It's still pretty popular, which surprises me. Chicago-based attorney Thomas Zimmerman, by the way, is who I'm referring to. Zimmerman said that the claimants are not specifically asking for relief for being unable to catch that rare Pokemon. Yeah. And this is something Niantic has addressed already with in-game bonuses and refund on the ticket costs. The issue is, according to Zimmerman, is what people were promised.
Right.
What was the incentive that people relied on and they flew to Chicago to participate in this festival? So there's a class action lawsuit now where they're trying to get everybody's travel expenses reimbursed, which
they're not going to be able to pull that off.
No way that's going to happen. And right. these people that came from California and the one guy from Japan, I mean, I guess maybe you'd plan your trip around the Pokemon Go Fest, but that's not the entire reason you came in. Don't you think, hey, let's go to Chicago?
I bet there are some people that came in just for it, wouldn't you think? Like diehard, hardcore fans. Those guys probably said, this is what I enjoy doing the most. There's a convention for it. I'm going to go in for that.
Yeah, but I would think most people from Chicago were the ones that attended the Chicago
hopefully.
One.
Yeah.
Technical issues with our game software caused client crashes and interfered with gameplay for some users, according to Niantic CEO John Hanke. A more protracted problem was John Hanke. Stop it.
I thought it was your friend Tom Jenke.
No. God, he would never get involved,
he would be
in,
involved
this.
In this. Nope.
A more protracted problem was caused by an oversaturation of the mobile data networks of some network providers. This caused many attendees to be unable to even access Pokemon Go or other internet services. Network congestion also led to a login issue, which affected some users able to access the internet. It's Pokemon Go, Pokemon gone.
Pokemon stop.
This is bad.
This is awful. Did they cancel the herring tasting as well?
Or no, that's still good to go.
All right, thank goodness. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Just so you know, in a little while, the show splits off a little bit. Wendy and I go to the internet, to the stream. You can find us just by going to WGNradio.com and clicking on a tab that will get you to listen to our show. Steve will do the Wintrust business lunch here, business as usual. So you have two options. Business as usual with Steve Bertrand. That's what the syndicated version is called, Wendy. It plays all over the world. Either listen to Steve here on WGN regular or go to visit us on the stream. We would love to have you. Jerry Nunn will be our guest. Jerry comes by about once a month to tell us the big events that are going on in Chicago that you should be aware of, various things that you can go and enjoy yourself at.
By the way, I spoke incorrectly. I said it was $100 for the Pokemon Go to get in.
To attend the
$20. Show. $20 ticket, and Niantic refunded the $20 ticket cost to anyone who purchased tickets.
All right, that's a start.
And then gave you $100 in Pokemon coins.
Yeah, that doesn't cut it.
But you got your money back for the ticket.
All right, so that's a good start. But if you were somebody that did fly in from California or this guy from Japan, you're looking at hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in travel expenses to attend a show, and you're really not getting what you thought you were getting.
Listen, if they flew in from Japan or California just for this event, then they were foolish.
Yeah.
They should have planned a whole vacation in Chicago for a week, and then this would be a definite
letdown,
of course, but you still have other things. How can you get your airfare if you visited any other thing? Or lodging? That doesn't seem fair.
I think you could, if you were the guy from Japan, you could say, that's the reason I came here. I wanted to be a part of this convention.
But did you do anything else? Did you go to Lincoln Park Zoo?
Did you
go to Navy Pier? It was in Grant Park, by the way.
No.
Did you go to the museums? Well, yes, yes, and yes. Well, then...
Then it wasn't your whole trip.
Yeah.
All right. I would still feel cheated, though. Wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have gone in the first place.
No, of course not.
That's why I don't go to these things.
Right. Because you're begging for disappointment. You're just setting yourself up. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch next. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN.